This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We do appreciate those of you who take the time to write and who pray for this ministry. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD if you would like. We also take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there, as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests through the website. So if you want those addresses, you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write them down at the close of the program. Now, we're done with those scriptures that were of particular importance to me, and I hope to young believers. We've gone through the list of them, and for those of you who would like to review those important personal scriptures, they're on the website, and if you don't have access to the website, if you write to me, I'll send you copies of them. But now I'm going to go back to the very beginning of our Bible and start reading from Genesis and deal with some of the stories and principles that we find in Genesis. I have to be careful because I think sometimes we find it difficult to properly interpret the Old Testament. I've mentioned over and over again that we are not Jews, but the Jews are a nation that God has used to demonstrate his principles and his prophecies and his faithfulness to us. And so we can learn an awfully lot by reading the Old Testament, and it's part of the scriptures that are given by inspiration of God and that are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But of course, when I look at the Old Testament, I'm looking, as I've said, at an earthly people who are given earthly promises and who have an earthly land. They're people of the earth. And so when we come to the book of the Revelation, we read about those that dwell on the earth, and it's talking particularly about the Jews. But when we come to the New Testament, God is calling out a spiritual people to himself. It's called a church, and it's a spiritual people with spiritual promises and a spiritual land. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so when we interpret the Old Testament, we have to make sure that we look at the principles and that we let the New Testament make the interpretations, and that we don't try to put ourselves as Jews in the Old Testament with the Jewish promises becoming the literal promises of the church. In other words, we can make the church a political entity on this earth, and instead it's a spiritual entity that is being administered in a spiritual way by the Lord from heaven. But as we come to Genesis, we read there in Genesis 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Now we need to settle that once and for all. There are those who say that we came into existence through a godless plan of chance that they call evolution. Now, if you use the term evolution to mean that there's been some changes in the species over time, or to look at microbes that have evolved over time, that's one thing. Even that is designed by God. But to look at human beings as having slowly but surely developed into what we are today is completely contrary to the scriptures that we read. We're going to read that God created the heavens and the earth, and then we're going to find out that God created man. And when we look at God in this passage, we'll find out it's a plural word. And when we come to the New Testament, we find out that God is seen as the Father and as the Son and as the Holy Spirit. And when we come to Colossians, and when we come to the first chapter of John, we find out that Christ himself was the creator, but the Holy Spirit was involved. God the Father was involved. And so, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. folks, we didn't just happen. And the logical mind realizes that if you've got a car, somebody designed it and made it. If you've got a house, somebody designed it and made it. And if you've got a human being, as complex as we are, somebody designed it and made it. Nobody would guess that the computers that they're using on their desks evolved into what they are today, even though through design they have been changed and improved. But every change and every improvement has come about by a designer who has either made the hardware different or has made the program different. And so it's the same way with human beings. While there may have been changes over the years in our height, in our visage, in some of the ways we are seen, and even in the length of life that we live, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, put a colon there, and then recognize that he's going to tell us how he created man as part of that creation. First, he creates the hardware, the heavens and the earth, and then he creates the people that are going to inhabit that earth. He creates the software, and we are part of that software. Now, remember when God tells us that he created the heavens and the earth, this is a literary explanation of creation. It's not a scientific explanation of creation. Nevertheless, it will be completely consistent with good science. So that's why we emphasize the fact that evolution, that is godless evolution that develops the creation of this earth by chance, just makes no sense, and we emphasize that. Yet when we look at the creation of the heaven and the earth, we have to realize that God has not told us everything. He's told us what we need to know. For example, when we go through Genesis 1, we're not told when the angels were created. Now, we can try to surmise when they were created, but we aren't told. We aren't told when Satan fell. But by the time we come to the sixth day of creation, we know that he had already fallen, because he is the one who, as the tempter, comes to Eve and, as most of you know, tempts her to disobey God by taking a forbidden fruit. We aren't told when that happened. And so there are things we are not told, but what we are told is absolutely true. And the thing that we are told is that God created the heavens and the earth. We are products of God's purpose and God's creativity. We didn't just happen. We are here for a purpose, and that purpose, of course, is to glorify God. And one of the things that we see throughout the Old Testament is that through sin, man has been alienated from God, and through sacrifice for sin, through forgiveness of sin, man can come to know God. And the word know has to do with intimacy. Sometimes it has to do with the intimacy between a man and his wife. But we should also know God in a very intimate way. And it's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know God. And as we look at the New Testament, we are told that we can know God by faith. In the Old Testament, it's the same way. And we see principle after principle of this, where people came to know God by faith. And we'll give examples of that when we come to Jacob in his ladder, when we come to Samuel and the word of God is revealed to him. And we have other examples of how that people came to an understanding of who God was, and they knew God. Now, when we come to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Now, there is a difference of opinion as to what this means, but when it says the earth was without form and void, that has to do with the way the earth is as God begins these 6 days of creation. And I personally think there are 6 days of recreation that speak to us of the new birth. When it says the earth was without form and void, I go to Isaiah and I find out that the earth was made to be inhabited. I find out that when God does something, it's always good. And God is represented by the light. It's good. And so to have God create something dark, to have God create something that speaks of the lack of light that's associated with sin. To have God create something that way is difficult for me to accept. Now, if you believe that, you're still my friend. But I believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and there's eons that we know nothing about. And in those ages preceding what we read about the 6 days of creation, I believe that the angels were created and that Satan fell. And when Satan fell, I believe it affected the earth. He may very well have been the original inhabitant of the earth. He and his angels may very well have been the original inhabitants of earth. And the earth became form, without form and void. And now God has to take that and he has to make something of it that can glorify him. And so we read about the Spirit of God hovering over the faces of the water, and God says, let there be light, and there was light. And to me, that speaks very clearly of New Testament truth, where we are born into this world, born in darkness. And when we come to John chapter 3, there's a man by Nicodemus who came to the Lord at night, and he came with a lack of understanding. When the Lord said he needed to be born again or created anew, he says, how can these things be? He's in darkness. And so we come into this world in darkness, and the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring us to an understanding of the truth, to bring light into our lives. And in this very first chapter, in the very first verses, we see the principle of God creating something that's good and having Satan bring darkness and confusion into that world, and then having the Spirit of God come back and hover over that and create a new life that glorifies God on this earth. And the Spirit of God then moves, and God says, let there be light. And we have mentioned over and over again that the Spirit of God and the Word of God always work together. And when we read the Word of God, the Spirit of God can use it to bring light into our lives. And the light that we need is the light that Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised again the third day. And that when we trust in him, we can know God, and this original problem of chaos and darkness and sin can be overcome for us individually. We become a new creature in Christ. And I have to ask you if you've ever had the experience of having your understanding open so that you yourself could know for sure that you know God, that you've trusted him, and that he has become your Savior, and that you are a new creation in Christ. Let there be light. God says that, and he wants you to have light today. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We trust that you will use these few thoughts to thy glory. We thank thee for thy Son and our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.